CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Our guest today is Rogani Michaels, author of the book Unflappable, Six Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What, helping us bring spirituality into the common stressors in your life. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Rogani.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This month we're talking about common stressors, and the antidote in every single case is spirituality and creating a different frame of looking at common stressors. And Rogani has often talked about the solution. The pill you take is meditation. And so meditation nowadays I find so interesting because everyone, it's part of the common vernacular. Oh, I didn't meditate today. It's like something that makes us feel guilty about being alive. I mean, I don't know how we've taken a spiritual practice and incorporated guilt. Although I think a lot of religions, spiritual practices do that.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk to you about meditation and what you've done. You said that you tried Zen and transcendental meditation, Vipassana. You know, there's so many different types out there. What kind of advice do you give to someone who's just starting? You know, they're like, I believe you, Rogani. I want to take the pill, but there's so many pills out there. What do I take?
Try a few. Transcendental meditation is really designed to build your concentration. Mm-hmm. So if you're somebody who can't concentrate, that might be a nice one to check out. Mm-hmm. If you want to develop insight and mindfulness, then Vipassana is a good thing to do. There's also, working with mandalas, which is a visual image that you focus on and try to become one with. You can look at the flame of a candle. It's a similar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Chanting, mm-hmm. Prayer.
Yoga.
Yeah. There's all kinds of things that you can do to start the process. The thing is, if you look at meditation as something you do to relieve your stress, that's fine. But it's not really the spiritual application of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's the spiritual?
Ultimately, it's to get beyond your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's to gain a little distance from your mind so that you know that you're more than your mind. Mm-hmm. Because in today's world, we are fused with our mental processes and identified with them as who we are. So if I have a bad thought, I think I'm a bad person. Mm-hmm. Rather than I have had a bad thought pass through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are two different ways of approaching the presence of a bad mental experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you say it's me, or you say it's not me, it's passing through me.
Mm-hmm.
So meditation, really, ultimately, you know, you have to be aware of what your goal is. I think this is helpful to really understand if you're doing it to reduce stress. That's not bad.
Right.
But just be aware that's what you're doing. And
right.
Don't ask for spiritual outcomes if what all you're doing is trying to reduce stress. That's a totally fine goal.
Okay.
Right. But if you want to use it to expand your consciousness, to become more mindful, to become more focused, to become more joyful and happy, then you want to, those are different goals than just reducing your stress.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's your goal then. I mean, the spiritual goal is to get beyond your mind, to recognize that there's something there.
Yes, there's something more than my mind, because it's really hard if you don't really know that there's something more.
Yeah.
Then you have to just have faith or hope.
Yeah.
But if you really know there's something there, then you know there's something there.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of faith or hope. It's a question of you know it.
Right.
And that strengthens your resolve to continue on your journey, which is not an easy journey. I mean, there's no question about that. It's,
right.
It's difficult in the sense that you have to discipline yourself to some degree. There are seven factors from the Buddhist psychology for enlightenment, which is really just a point of view or a way of looking at life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say them for you.
Sure,
so
yeah.
People have it. Mindfulness,
right?
Equanimity or balance, investigation or inquiry, concentration, joy, energy, and calmness. So meditation from the Buddhist perspective is designed to develop these seven mental factors so that you can use them. You know, you can exercise those muscles like when you go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then with those muscles developed, you actually have what you need to be able to stand on those and step to the side of your mind.
Right.
You're using your mental factors to develop the capacity to actually get distance from your mind.
Yep.
It's kind of a paradox, but there you have it.
Yeah, so part of what I'm hearing is that some things that now, because Westerners are exposed to meditation, one thing that they maybe misunderstand is the goal, it could be that the outcome is relaxation mm-hmm. and happiness and joy and some of those things, but the goal is part of the stuff that I think we don't understand about meditation. What happens when you have a bad meditation, Ragini? What's considered a bad? Is there ever a bad meditation in your mind?
Never a bad meditation. If I sit down to meditate, it doesn't matter which of these I'm doing. Sharon Salzberg once said, sitting down is an act of self-love. It does not matter what happens after you sit down, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have intended to sit and that you have acted upon that intention and you have created the space in your life to sit there and grapple with your desire to do whatever kind of meditation you've decided upon, that is enough to feel good about.
Right. That's good. I like
that. That's very helpful. So, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you sit for an hour, especially in the beginning, an hour, 40 minutes, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or 1 minute. Whatever you can do, do.
Yeah.
And feel good about it.
Yeah.
And don't worry about what happens in it. Another really helpful thing when you think you've had a bad meditation, people think because they keep coming back like 25 times to their breath or something, mm-hmm. that it's been a bad meditation. In actuality, that means it's a good meditation. It's better than coming back twice. Because that really means if you've only come back twice in the course of a meditation, you've really been gone off somewhere most of the time. Right.
So if you can, let's be truthful here.
Let's be truthful. If you can pull yourself back 25, 30, 50 times.
Then I'm doing awesome.
It's awesome because what you're doing is you're aware of what's going on in your mind. And
yes.
You go, oh, I'm thinking a thought about tomorrow. Nope. I'm here right now. I'm watching my breath.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm here watching that mandala.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm here doing my mantra.
Right.
Okay. So every time that you say, no, I'm coming back and doing what's happening right now, it's cause for celebration.
Right.
Great. 100 times. Oh my goodness. Go have a Coke or a glass of wine or something, you know, to celebrate. Fantastic.
Right. Yeah. Because it just means that you're conscious of where your mind was going, which is part of the goal of meditation anyways, is to understand you were more than that.
Yes.
Yeah.
From a mystical perspective, the goal is to discover that you are actually more than that, not just to believe it, but to actually have the experience of it as a reality.
Yeah. And what other kind of, I'll tell you the advice that Ragini gave me. Here's one piece of advice. Don't you love when I tell you your advice that you've given me?
I do. I'm wondering, what did I say? Oh my goodness, what's she going to say?
The one thing you told me is you said, CJ, what you really need to experience so that you truly can understand the benefits of meditation is you need to go on a silent retreat. And you need to go on a silent retreat that's probably more than 3 or 4 days because it takes that long before your mind calms down. And you were exactly right. I said, okay, I'm going to try it. So I went on a silent retreat. And the first day I was like, oh, what? Are you kidding me? I can't, what? And I'm judging everything and I'm looking around and like my mind is all over the place. Second day I'm like, oh, not only was my mind all over the place, but my body hurts. My legs hurt. People sit in this position the whole time. Why? Why can't they sit in a chair?
And the third day, I started calming down. And I noticed people were sleeping. They couldn't deal with it. They would literally fall asleep during the meditation. I fell asleep during the meditation. And on the fourth day, I had this existential experience with the purpose of the universe. I mean, it was one of those things that it took that long. And then I thought, that's what they're trying to get at. Meditation. It really wasn't until that silent meditation for 4 days straight of sitting, walking, eating in silence and meditating the entire time that I finally understood the purpose of meditation. And it's one of the greatest joys that I can think of.
It is.
Honestly.
My first meditation retreat silent was 2 weeks long and I spent half of it in my car in the parking lot with my partner. Eating candy bars, drinking Coke, and talking because we couldn't tolerate it, either one of us. that much silence.
2 weeks is a long
time. It was a long time. It was my first silent retreat ever. It was a long thing. But it was fantastic for the same reasons that you just spoke.
Yeah. But it was really the first time that I thought, I understand the purpose of the universe in ways that I could never have experienced before. I had this out of this world meditation, which I literally, like, everything just snapped in together like a video.
Let me just also comment. Do I have time to make
another comment? Yeah, we have a couple minutes.
That contemplation is an additional thing. There's prayer, meditation, and contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer is a little different than meditation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And contemplation is a little different than meditation. But if you're someone, if the listener out there is someone who sits down every day and reads something that is spiritual for themselves, and they take a moment before they start to, like, connect with the larger system, the larger whole, God, the universe, whatever they might call it, that's a very valid form of also engaging in connecting with. I mean, the whole point of all of this truly is to get you to have an experience where you feel connected.
Yep.
All right, to this larger thing.
Right, or take a hike, or, I mean, I think that that's a different way.
Being out in nature is another way, which is more on the edge of contemplation. So if you don't meditate, but you sit and you read spiritual things in the morning every day or sometime, it
still counts.
It's great, it still counts. Imagine you got a little bucket next to you, and every time that you have a moment of awareness, insight, understanding, mindfulness, it goes in the bucket.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever lost.
Yeah.
And pretty soon the bucket will be filled up and you'll have a better day.
Yeah.
Because you have more mindfulness, awareness, presence with you as you go through.
Yeah, I like the idea of expanding it to prayer, contemplation, and meditation, because they all count. And I think sometimes we disregard the other types. They all count.
They all count.
All right. Many thanks to Raghini Michaels, author of Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What, that you can find on her website, RaghiniMichaels.com, RaghiniMichaels.com. In the next segment, we're going to be talking about gurus, to choose a guru or not. So, folks, make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com to get a schedule of upcoming shows, articles, and coaching tips. We'll be right back.